Hello, everyone, fellow lushes and fellow drunkards. We are back again for another episode of the Better Beer Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Island. With me, as always, Sean Dunn.
Howdy. Welcome to Better Beer Club Podcast. This week. We are, we're part of a podcast here where every show is a drinking show. So we've got to get to that sooner than later.
Yeah.
Episode 11, I've noticed that our listenership has climbed a little bit.
Yeah, we're ticking away, one drinker at a time, I guess.
If the levels on the podcast today seemed a little weird, seem a little weird as we go through, that's because we had a crucial piece of equipment fail just as we were about to press record. So we went around the back way with the cords and electronics here, so do give us a break.
I guess maybe your AKA could different. Be the back way man.
Phil Adore song coming on.
Ooh. All right. Well,
so I know we got a lot to get into, but you just came back from a pretty mind blowing trip to the Grand Canyon. You just showed me some pretty awesome pictures.
I did.
Excursion out there, huh?
Yeah. I'm excited about the podcast tonight too. It's a big one. You know, we just hit 10 last week and, now we're moving on to 11. If, for all the people who don't know how to count, 11 comes after 10. So, yeah. Or if you've had a few too many and you don't know what beer you're on, this is beer number one. I have I decided I'm just going to blow the roof off. I've been really modest and nice on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I think I'm done with that. I think I'm just going to...
You unzipped your jacket like you're about to reveal something.
Yeah, I brought my tuxedo t-shirt today.
Oh, nice.
It's because it says, it's classy, but it says I'm here to fucking party, you know? So,
well, I've heard that it's good to dress for the job that you want. You know, so dress for success, you know, I read that book they always talk about. That was back in the days when you needed a gold pin on just in case somebody were to ask you for a pin. You don't pull out some little plastic pin. You're like, here's my $150 Mont Blanc, because every time I put my fucking name on something, it means something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There you go. Bic is not going to cover it.
No,
you know?
No.
I don't. Yeah.
My dad was into that growing up, too. He had a cross pin, like a gold one he got when he hit, $500,000 in sales or something.
Yeah.
And then he had a Mont Blanc one, too. I remember we went and got it. It's almost like jewelry. So yeah. you're accessorizing
this
in
is my,
a similar kind
this
of way
is
in
my
the podcast world.
Gold pin of the podcast right now.
So it's a shirt that has a tuxedo imprinted on it.
That's pretty much wraps it up. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, I think it definitely sets the bar for, professionalism here in the studio.
Well, like you said, every show's a drinking show, and, man, let's get fucked up, you know.
So speaking of drinking, you were at almost the nation's capital of drinking this week. I mean, did you see anything crazy going on out there?
Yeah, well, for my vacation, I did go up to the Grand Canyon, had a great time up there. And we have my family has a house in Lake Havasu, where there's a lot of drinking going on. Absolutely. It's a little bit early in the season.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, stupidity going on, unfortunately. But it was great. There was a lot of sun, a lot of drinking. The Grand Canyon was phenomenal. And that actually brings us to our beer, because brought our beer back from the Grand Canyon.
I talked to you on, I think it was Friday, because it was my week to bring the beer, but I called you to let you know. We went over and watered some plants or whatever just to let you know the house was taken care of, and you revealed that I wasn't going to be responsible for bringing the beer this week. You'd already picked it up, so.
Yeah, I thought I'd do something special because the Grand Canyon is special to me. Back when I met my wife.
The old battle axe?
Yeah. The ball and chain there. She talked me into, this is where I've been going to the lake house since I was born, I don't know, forever.
Yeah.
And she decided, we go up there and she's like, well, how far away is the Grand Canyon? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never really looked into it. And it's like the lake house is like a perfect halfway point.
Uh-huh.
So you sleep there for the night, you head on up, and then, you leave early enough in the morning, early in the day, you're looking at the canyon. You're standing on the fucking edge of it. It's awesome.
Well,
it's beautiful.
I saw the pictures and
absolutely
I'm thinking
beautiful.
It might be a good idea for you to go ahead and post that video. You got this video of a rainstorm coming in over the Grand Canyon, which would be awesome to put on the webpage at some point for people to check out. It's like this rainstorm is just like, a pittance compared to this huge canyon you're standing next to. So it's just kind of visually impressive.
Yeah, it really kind of helps put it in perspective,
Like how
So I'm how starting to get an idea that we're not going to be drinking this beer. I don't know if something's going on, but you've got a special tuxedo shirt on, and we've got shot glasses in front of us, and you've got these beers. So I'm thinking, is this not going to be a normal tasting?
So all that clanky in the background was a fantasy of a variety pack of Grand Canyon beer. I brought beer from the Grand Canyon Brewing Company. They're out of Williams, Arizona, which is a little place right south of the Grand Canyon. Before you start heading up the 64, I bought the variety pack of cans.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured we'd open all four of them, and like a little flight taster.
Oh, cool!
And do all of them. So yeah, you got your work cut out for you today, buddy. You
that
got
sounds
a,
good.
Quite a bit of koozie approving to do.
I was just about to say, usually I'll have like a pre-show beer or two, and my Bud Light's pretty much gone because we were sitting here racking our brains about this technical difficulty. Okay. I didn't know that I had no Bud Light to start the podcast, so I think we probably better go ahead and open it now.
As much as I like blasting microphones with bottle caps like last episode, there is something about this aspect of a can. That little crack, you know, the little is, you know, the bottles have a nice little hiss, and that's fantastic also. But
well, it's funny because I listened back to that podcast, and it was unbelievably loud.
It was really loud. I can't believe how loud it was. I don't know why that one popped so hard. It must have been the angle, you know?
Yeah.
So popped it just right. So we got four different kinds here. I'm going to keep opening them all.
All right,
we're
going
to flight them. But there wasn't a whole lot of information on the website about this particular company, but I have had. One of these I've had before, and the other three I haven't. So we have four beers. We'll try each one.
All right. Well, let's give them a try. Shit, I'm excited.
I know. So the first one is a white winter wheat. Should be right up your alley there.
Yeah, sure.
One of the cool things about the canyon is that, like, I guess when we come from the lake house, we come from really low altitude. You start heading up to the canyon, and it's... You're up there, man. You're up at like 8 or 9,000 feet, like at the edge, and you go through all these different types of nature to get there. You're from desert to like in between there, and then you're up, and I mean you're standing in pine trees, and in the winter it snows like crazy there, and white winter wheat. I'm guessing that's why they're calling
it. So we got four beers sitting in front of us here in shot glasses. I don't have to guess which one it is, do I? Are you going to tell
me? No, you don't. I wasn't going to turn it into a game.
Okay, because I got another round of the newlywed game if you do.
Yeah. So this one here is the can there for white winter wheat. Don't be bashful when you're... Shot glass is empty. Feel free to fill it up.
Ooh, I like it. It's got the cow skull on it.
It smells smells wheaty.
It's good.
Mm.
Is it weird that I kind of taste a little bit of cilantro in there?
Is that from your dinner or is that just...
I haven't eaten.
I don't know. I'm not getting any cilantro. Maybe it's the coriander.
Well, that's really good. That's cool. Well, that's cool. We got four beers to try out this week. All right, so we got beer in hand. The can is really cool. It's really cool to try these beers from around the globe where it's like, I've never seen this in a store, probably never will.
Yeah.
But when you go to the Grand Canyon, you get to bring a pack of it back. It's kind of cool.
They do sell it in bottle, and they do sell it on draft at some of the local places over there. That's why I've had one of these before. And I just went for the cans because, you know, I don't know. We kind of have that bottle can, you know, back and forth thing going on. And I thought it was a perfect fit. So, yeah. I did want to talk about an idea that I had. It's something we're going to be doing here on the podcast for the listeners. Give back a little bit here. Rusty story and what have you, I started thinking like, man, that's real bitching. And everyone probably has some really cool drunk stories.
Oh yeah.
And so I want to hear them, you know.
Uh-huh.
I want people to call in and hear them. But since we have such bad luck with callers, maybe we'll have it be an email. And then if we if it's a story we like, then we'll see if we can contact those people and then give some stories online. Maybe we'll read a couple of them every now and then. But I want to give away a prize, man. I want to give away some fucking money.
You know what's cool too is we've both been around, basically drinking in the bar scene for quite some time. You actually work at a bar, and I played music with a band for many, many years. So I've been kind of, so we both know what I'm getting at is we've got some buddies, I think, on both sides that probably have some pretty good stories.
Yeah, there's got to be some pretty good stories out there. Yeah. I think between me, you, and both of our wives, we could judge the situation, and whoever gives us the best beer story, the funniest beer story, the one that we pick is like, God, that's a fucking story, is going to win some money. And I say we have them on the podcast, let them tell their story personally, you know, and get everyone there. Yeah. So there will be more information on the betterbeerclub.com where you can figure out how to enter to be a part of that competition. But yeah, we're going to give away some money. So you're going to want to be a part of this.
So yeah. So just to start this off on the right foot, I think we've got actually a listener with a story who's reached out to us that we're going to take a phone call. And hear our first story and first competitor here in the new competition.
Yeah, give you a little taste of what we're talking about here.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Hey, Erica, it's Nate from the Bitter Beer Club podcast. I was just wondering if you might have a moment to talk.
Absolutely.
All right. Earlier you were telling me a story, and we're kind of doing a thing on the podcast where we're going to be giving away money. So I thought maybe you could share that story with us.
Sure. I was approximately 19 years old. It was back in my heyday with my sister when she just turned 21. And they were having a party, her and her friends, at her boyfriend's apartment. So at the time, because I was underage, they used to buy me the mixed drinks of Sex on the Beach and Long Island iced tea. So that's what I was drinking most of the night. And they thought it would be funny to have a 19-year-old take a shot of Flaming Jose. So as I'm standing in the kitchen, already had
drinks. Wait. For the listeners, what exactly is a Flaming Jose?
A Flaming Jose is just a tequila shot with the rim of the shot glass set on fire.
Check. Okay.
So, sounds drinkable. My sister's boyfriend was explaining to me how I was going to take the shot. So he's standing in front of me with the shot glass already lit, and he tells me, okay, he's like, you're going to blow it out, and he goes, and you're going to shoot it. And he's like, it's just going to be really warm going down. But within him trying to explain it to me at the time of the night that I'd already had entirely too much to drink, once he handed me the glass, the shot glass was hot, and so I dropped it and completely set the entire kitchen counter on fire.
Oh, no.
So, as I'm laughing, because at the time I thought it was really funny, everyone at the party was standing there staring at me and as he was trying to smash out the fire. But, yeah, that's what happens when you try and get Flaming Jose to a drunk 19-year-old. So.
Awesome. That's an awesome story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. We're gonna give you a beer koozie for sharing your story on the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, that'll go into the running for our competition. That's a good first sort of entry.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the idea anyways. Like the funny drunken beer stories. I don't know how many of you have to be 19, you know? I mean, you have to be 21 to enter in the contest, you know? But if
you're 30-something now,
the story, we might accept it. We might accept it, you know?
Giving a 19-year-old a Flaming Jose sounds like something Rusty might be involved.
Yeah, I'm glad she didn't drop a name of the person contributing to the delinquency of minors. Well, but yeah, but that's it. Those are the kind of stories we want, and we want your best beer story, and you can win a shit ton of money. So email us and give us your stories, all right?
Sounds good.
Right on.
So have you ever taken a shot of anything that's been on fire?
No, that's an interesting one. I take it back. I have. Flaming Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't light my counter on fire, but I'm guessing that there's probably some 151 or something on top of that
that
allows it to light on fire, because I don't think 80 proof tequila does, but it could have been higher proof tequila somehow.
I've tried it one time, and I think it was 151 that I tried. But
yeah, I bought a bottle of 151 a little while back for my home bar. And yeah, I guess if you take, I guess it's beer related, actually. If you take amaretto, a shot of amaretto, and you put the top quarter of it, 151, and then you drop it into a small cup of beer. Well, you set it in a small enough amount of beer so it doesn't cover the rim of the shot glass.
Yeah.
Light the 151 on fire, blow it out, and then when you take the shot, the beer dumps into the shot dumps into the beer, the whole thing goes down, and for some reason, beer 151 amaretto tastes like Dr. Pepper.
Huh. All right.
And legitimately does.
Now you know. Well, yeah. I got a little things that make you need a beer this week.
Oh, good. My beer, 'cause I'm crying for you, dear.
You are on my lonely mind. It's funny that I've got this theme song for this week's There's a Tear in My Beer, because things that make me need a beer, Boot Barn.
Oh, God. Why were you at Boot Barn?
Are you insinuating that you need a few beers just to walk into
it? You'd have to give me several beers to get me to even get near a Boot Barn.
Well, in my defense, my line of work requires boots.
Okay.
Makes sense. So that's one reason to go in. Yeah. Number two was they're having a sale on Carhartt shirts, workwear, which I'm wearing one now.
Okay.
But I've actually brought this up in the past, but it's reared its ugly head again. Boot Barn is so afraid. Like, their loss prevention, like, tactics are out of this world. So really? You've never been into our local Boot Barn?
I've never been in a Boot Barn, no. I mean, I don't wear anything leather, and I don't I don't wear boots.
You wouldn't want a wallet, let's say, with a magnetic money clip in the shape of a shotgun shell?
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I can always take it back. The wedding gifts. Anyways, so I've talked about this before, and every time I go to Boot Barn, at least locally, I don't know if it's nationwide, but I walk in, and immediately I'm just chicken hawked by some sales associate who wants, like, to know my business.
Yeah.
What's up? Can I help you find anything? What are you looking for? And they don't take no for an answer.
Right.
You're just like, oh, I'm just here to look. I'm just here, you know, looking around, or I'm just going to get some work. Where they're like, well, let me tell you about this week's sales, this and that. And they're wearing a cowboy hat. So it's, you know, already you're feeling a little intimidated.
You're like, fuck, did I walk into a Halloween store? Like,
well, yeah. Well, there's first cowboys in here. There's a cowbell on the door, and it bangs up against glass. And I think one of these days it's going to break that glass. I don't know. The whole situation walking in. It's not like you can just waltz in, like, to a Walmart totally unnoticed and just go to your section and just, you know, kind of carry on with your shopping trip. So anyways, I went there yesterday to get, they had a good deal on Carhartt work shirts. So I thought, well, I'm going to go pick up some. So I go there, and it's a lady, you know, immediately bird dogs me. Oh, you need any help? Hey, what's up? Makes it known that she knows that I'm there. So It gets to the point too where you'll go and you'll make your selection. You'll get your, if in my case I had some shirts, and they've done this to me several times, and it makes me need a beer. They come up and say, would you like me to take those items and hold them behind the counter? There's only two reasons for this that I can think of. Maybe you can shed some light on this. One is they think I'm gonna fucking steal them,
right?
Which is always what I think, is like, what do I look like a criminal, or what's going on?
Yeah.
Two is they want to make sure that I don't change my mind and, like, put one back, you know, because they take them. And so the first time she asked me, can I take those and hold them for you at the counter? And this is their policy there, obviously, because it's happened several times. And I said, no, it's cool. Like, I can carry the shirts. Like, you know, I'm still looking, just because morally I feel like, what are you trying to say? You know?
Yeah.
And then, but what they do is, so the second time I was looking at wallets, she's like, let me just take those shirts and hold them behind the counter for you. Let me just take them. This is ridiculous. Because I'm, like, holding them and I'm looking at wallets thinking all these fucking wallets have, like, the butt of a shotgun shell on them, and I can't go out in public with these fucking things. So she's sensing that I'm sort of, like, you know, like, juggling these shirts, which really wasn't a big deal. They're on a hanger. It's hanging on my hand. You know?
Yeah.
So anyways, I relent. And she take, I'm like, all right, fine, you got me, you know?
Yeah.
They take them and fold them all up. So it's like, it's almost like a tactic where it's like, if you come to the counter and you're like, I don't really want the blue one, ma'am. It's like, well, she already folded it. It's already just slip into a bag. Like, you know, so I'd like to just say to Boot Barn, why don't you chill the fuck out? All right. I mean, or
start serving beer.
Because every time I go in there, I just feel like I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
I gotta make my purchase and leave, because they're not gonna let me relax, you know?
Yeah.
If I wanna mosey around and be like, hey, look at those paisley weird cowboy boots, like with like a, almost like a bandana, like etched into them and stuff. And I just want to sit there and admire them. I feel like I can't.
No, Boot Barn, if you're listening and you would like to us to advertise on the podcast, give us a call. We may rebuttal our statement. If not, then start serving beer.
Well, I bought my shirts, but it's what's funny is I had looked it up before. I'm like, can I just order these things from Amazon? Okay, but I thought I need boot laces, so it's like, well, I'll go to Boot Barn because they have everything I need there, and it's local. You know, whatever. It's probably better than giving your money to some, you know, conglomerate like Amazon. But, you know, anyway, so that kind of made me need a beer because I just always feel like a criminal when I walk in there because they don't trust me with $36.99 worth of shirts.
Well, I'd say they either have the best customer service around or they work on commission, which would be one reason why they're there in your fucking face the whole time. Yeah. And then, which would kind of make sense, especially if they want to take them from you and put them at the same. Because then also it's kind of like, is it the same person who's been with you the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
And this instance. And so then that person's like, here, let me get those things and bring them over here. Because they're going, okay, that, you know, let me get all of my profits over here in one situation.
That would make some sense.
So that it's like, okay, we got these sales. And, you know. Plus, from a salesperson's point of view, it's kind of like, and from a customer service point of view, it's kind of like, get these things out of this guy's hands so he has more hands to grab more shit with. You know, like, I guess it
makes sense, but to me, it's like they got a whole rack of, I mean, usually when I'm going, I got one shirt for going out and it's a Western shirt.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to wear it to your wedding. You know, it's like my one shirt.
Hey, right on.
You've probably seen it. It's green. Sometimes I do yard work in it if my wife doesn't catch me in time. But, you know, so I felt like, oh, they had a whole sale rack full of, like, you know, like Western shirts that like look nice for dressing up.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, well, maybe I'll peruse this rack, or maybe Cynthia is going to fucking like mad dog me till I leave this place. So I'm just going to go.
I think I probably would be like, hey, Cynthia, I think I like that shirt. Can you hold it up for me? Thanks. You know, that maybe, one. No, I'm not going to grab it. You grab it. Yeah. Hold it up. Thanks.
I feel like it's
what size is that? Can you hold it against me? Do I look good? No, Cynthia.
I should take a different tactic.
Okay, Cynthia, maybe. Fold that up and put it back. I don't want that one. I want the one three below it. I want to see that one.
Maybe I should do that because to me, I feel like the mouse in a game of cat and mouse. It's like they come and, oh, they got you. They're all over you. And then they'll leave you alone for a minute. Like, oh, you're just circling. He's circling the racks.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, oh, look at those boot laces. They're like, let me tell you about the finest, newest developments in boot laces these days. Would you be interested in three, maybe four packs? Would you like to take them behind the counter? Shit.
You know, if you buy 97 of them, they're cheaper, right? Yeah.
So it's like they'll let you go for a minute. But once you change like from like work wear to like Western wear, it's like, hey, did you know that Tommy Llama or whatever the brand is has a sale too? And I just, I don't know. So to me, I think for me as a customer, I'd prefer a little bit of space Boot Barn.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that. I don't go shopping. So I guess that's it. All right. Next beer.
All right. What do you got?
I got a Pilsner. They're calling it American Pilsner. Oh, you know what I just noticed is that these cans do have a little story on the back.
Oh, do they?
Yep. Oh, here's where I put it. Yeah, they do. So the white.
Dude, I swear I taste cilantro in that.
You do? Here, have some more and see if it tastes like cilantro. Yeah, on the back right there, there's a little tiny story saying white water. It's talking about, it's actually talking about, what is it called, white water wheat or white winter wheat? I think I fucked that up.
It's called white water.
White wheat. Water wheat, which they have white water rafting Colorado going River. Down through Colorado. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So sorry. Sorry, Grand Canyon Brewing Company. I fucked that up at the beginning, but we fixed it. So the next one's the American Pilsner.
All right.
And this one.
Is this mine?
Yep. That's the one. Smells Pilsner-y.
Good.
So yeah.
This is very reminiscent of the Bud Light Challenge, I have to say, because they've warmed up a little bit.
Yeah, they have. From all the technical difficulties.
Yeah,
they it's actually a fairly light Pilsner. I mean, Pilsner's always light in color, but the that Pilsner flavor that the yeast normally gives it is a little bit light, lighter than a lot of pilsners I've had. It's pretty nice. That's actually good. I could drink that.
Very good. So I know you've got a few things you want to get into on tonight's podcast. Now that I've been able to vent about Boot Barn, I mean, I got plenty of other things that make me need a beer, but yeah. Let's say we prioritize right now. What do you want to get into?
I'm starting to look at my list and realize that like I got 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 12 or 15 more things to talk about. But we'll break it down.
So you said you had a new segment. We were gonna kind of get into today. Yeah, it's brand new, and you want to go into that?
Yeah, it kind of works into the giving money away stories kind of thing.
You just announced that segment when you want. I'll let this play all damn day.
So I don't know what this segment's called yet. So I'm just going to call it the Darwin Award segment for now.
All right.
So I kind of, since we're talking about cool-ass beer stories and dumb-ass things that you've done when you're drunk and those kind of stories we're going to be getting emails for, I thought I'd give some Darwin Awards.
All right.
That I looked up that are like, for people who don't know what the Darwin Award is, it's an award given for the person who dies the stupidest every year, basically. And I also saw a little funny thing online when I was looking it up that was like men are stupider is what it said than women. Because when you look up the Darwin Award, it's always a fucking man.
I've noticed that because men are forced to go and remove the wasp's nest. That's why women don't do it.
Women are like, sometimes I guess maybe our pride gets in the way. But a lot of these aren't your pride got in the way. A lot of these are... you were probably fucking drinking quite a bit when you did that. I don't know. So,
what's the first one?
First one's Russian roulette. So apparently a gentleman decided to play some Russian roulette with some buddies or without. Is not.
Let me guess. It was with a semi-automatic.
Disclosed. Yeah, but it's with a semi-automatic pistol with no revolving chamber.
With
a
spring
loaded. Spring loaded clip.
That was bound to happen.
Now you gotta think like, okay, cool. Yeah, I wonder if, okay, was it his gun? Was it his friend's gun? Like, who, you know, this idea is fucking fantastic. But this guy, so he's the first to go. His friends are there. I mean, can you be held accountable for that? Like, as a person sitting in the room, not looking at this guy going, hold on a second, Johnny. That, you know, I don't think you have a 1 in 6 chance here. That's 100% chance going to go off in your fucking head.
He's like, yeah, but it holds 10, 1, 10, 11, yeah. 11 if you count the one in the chamber. No. I only got one. I mean, you're my chances are great. It's less than 10%.
You're not very good at math. This is a 1 in 12 chance.
He's like, actually, technically, it's twice as safe.
Yeah. So that was Russian roulette. The next one is the return letter bomb. So a letter bomb, you know, that you would mail out to someone, they open it, it blows up.
Like a terrorist.
Yeah, a terrorist letter bomb. And it was, didn't have enough postage on it, I'm guessing because the explosive was so fucking heavy. Yeah. So it returned to sender, and very excited to get some mail. Mr. Letter Bomber opens it up.
Oh, no.
And blows himself up.
He deserves it. He deserves that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. So the next one's lava lamp stove guy.
I'm curious about this.
So he, the lava, basically this guy buys a lava lamp. Lava lamp's not heating up quick enough. So he decides to heat it on the stove. The lava lamp explodes and embeds glass in his chest and he bleeds out to death.
Oh my gosh.
So
I didn't even know that was possible.
Just a little safety tip for all you drunkards out there. If you're trying to be impressive to the ladies, light the lava lamp, and you're like, shit, it's not going to make it in time for the mood setting, just give her another fucking shot or another beer. Don't put the lava lamp on the stove. Yeah, by the time you get back from your moonlight walk, you will lava lamp ready. the next one is one of my personal favorites. Okay. This one... As a man who works on vehicles, you or is familiar with vehicles, capable of working on them, you can appreciate a funny leak coming from somewhere, and you're not really sure where it is or how to fix it. So this individual had a leak in his truck and couldn't figure out where it was coming from. So he decided to strap himself underneath the vehicle while his friend drove his truck around so that he could figure out where the leak is coming from. And basically got wrapped up in the crankshaft when they found him. He was spun all up in the crankshaft of the fucking truck.
You know what? You can usually tell. There's usually some evidence while it's parked.
Enough to not strap yourself to the bottom of the truck.
Well, particularly like, if you're straddling a crankshaft. I thought for surely he's not strapped to the crankshaft.
You know, the second that truck started moving, like even 2 miles an hour, you'd be like this far off the ground, just going like, fuck, this is a bad idea.
Yeah. I should specify drive shaft too. It is hooked to the crankshaft.
Drive shaft. Excuse me. Yeah, wrapped up in the drive shaft.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's crazy. Well, okay. Well, they all deserved it. And I think it's safe to say that we're probably all drinking. Yeah. Well, it's like when I, like, you know, I do some woodworking. And I'll always think, you know, maybe I shouldn't have 2 beers and then fire up the chop saw. But I'm like, well, I think I'm intelligent enough to avoid any. I mean, obviously, if I've been drinking all night, I wouldn't. But if I come home from work, crack a beer, hey, I'm going to like go build some boxes for Brittany and Nate's wedding or something. I'm like, I don't think 1 or 2 beers are going to hurt. But I think that's sort of good that I'm thinking about it even at beer one. I'm like, you know, I'm definitely not going to be getting drunk and working on heavy machinery.
Yeah, the fun part's when you stop thinking about that stuff and you're just like, no, this is a good idea.
All right, well, that's a cool segment. I like that. I like bringing it. You know what? It's funny, a little behind the scenes, like, of the podcast. It's like, you know, there's, as far as beer goes, there's only been so much to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to bring in a little bit of, like, interesting facts here and there, you know, because I rack my brain like, I'm sure somebody's used a beer to do something weird that I got to find on the internet and talk about. But really, you know, we're just kind of having fun. All right. I'd say we get to that next beer before we get too late in the podcast.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So this one is the Amber. This one's the Sunset Amber Ale.
Just for anybody who might be concerned for us, we're not actually slamming a beer. We're just taking a shot of each beer.
No, I don't know. I'm slamming this other one next to it. Yeah, there are. I'm tasting each one in between each one.
4 fucking beers in 8 minutes. Hey, you got to listen to that podcast.
Like I said, it's time to get fucked up. That's what this podcast is about. No, wait, actually, this here. Wait, that's an empty can. Yeah,
that's empty.
I think it was from earlier, but whatever. Okay. It's Sunset Amber Ale. And it's by Grand Canyon Brewing Company. And this one is inspired by the beautiful sunsets on the Grand Canyon. And there are lots of them. I will give you that. This one, there are really beautiful sunsets there. This one's, I haven't had the next one, but this one is one of my favorites. I actually really like this one.
Let's give it a try.
Amber Ale. And it's not too sweet. Doesn't have a whole lot of caramel notes to it, but it is it does have a sweetness to it. It's starting to get a little bit more warm now, so you can pick up a little bit of the of the funk on the warmth. But here, this one's been sitting in my koozie cold still.
Actually, it's pretty good. You know, it's got a little bit of a nutty taste at the end of it, like almost like a, you know, like a Newcastle or something. Yeah.
Hey, you know the question we had about koozies? Is it for keeping your beer cold or your hand warm?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with both because it's definitely keeping my hand warm.
Is it?
But
it's so hot in this room, too.
This beer is still cold.
We can't have any fans
the
going.
The one that I put in the koozie is still cold, and it's the same one that I poured these in.
You know what? That last beer, which one was it again?
Sunset Amber.
Sunset,
or are you
Amber.
Going back to the Pilsner?
It's a little citrusy too.
It does actually have a citrus. Yeah. It does have a citrus. Maybe that's the sunset aspect of it. But yeah.
Well, you know what? Just while we're tasting these beers, I had a little bit of. I came across something in my travels as far as show prep, and well, you know, let me bring it up here real quick. Okay, here it is. I got it. Sorry. All right, I had, just because we're tasting all these beers, it might be good to sort of increase our vocabulary as far as beer terms.
Okay.
So I got, we'll run through these real quick. 10 terms to boost your beer vocabulary.
Okay.
Maybe, I was thinking maybe, you know, we could employ some of these when we're talking about beers in the future.
Is round one of them?
I didn't see it on this list, but we have used that in the past. Let's burn through these real quick. Okay, let me know if you know what these are. ABV.
Alcohol by volume.
Yep. A numerical percentage describing a beer's alcohol content by percentage. So, stuff like United States produced light beers are usually around the 4% range. And then we've tried stuff up to, what was it, 9%? As far as what we've tried on the podcast.
Yeah, so I think it was 9-ish.
Let's pick a few of these here. Hops. We're pretty familiar with hops, but... It says here, hops are the flowers used to create certain more bitter taste elements in beer. You know, it's used as, you can really taste the hops or the beer has a hoppy aroma. We're pretty familiar with that. Here's one I didn't know that's related to hops. It's the IBUs.
International Bitter Units?
Yeah, I did not know that. It's a standardized method for quantifying a beer's taste. Low IBU ratings describe sweeter and smoother beers that have oatmeal and fruit in their names most commonly. Higher IBU ratings are like stouts, IPAs, and that kind of thing. See if there's anything else that we wouldn't know. IPAs on here, lagers on here. Malt is sweeter and often lower alcohol beers. It's described as malts because of the grain malt used in their production. And then here's one that I thought we would like. Notes. In beer tasting culture, the term notes describes a beer's flavor elements. So saying it's got malty notes or hoppy notes.
Chocolate notes.
It's a good way to say it instead of saying it's malty or citrusy. It's got a citrusy note.
Yeah.
Makes you seem more intelligent or more refined as far as your beer tasting.
Yeah. But but here on the Better Beer podcast, we like to just say whatever the fuck we want. So note this.
All right, so...
No, that's a bad joke.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think we don't have to say anything we don't want to say.
Yeah. No, I like it. That's good. That's good. We've used that term a couple of times on the podcast before.
I think
that's
been stolen from the wine community.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got... I know we got our pub joke of the week. I think we've got one more beer to try.
Yeah, we got one more beer to try.
We got a koozie approve all these?
We might have to... We got a koozie approve all of them, yeah.
Man.
Now, I was... When you were talking about ABV, I was... looking around on the cans, trying to find the alcohol by volume, and I don't actually see it. Maybe if you eagle eye it, you could show me where they kept it on the can, and we can give it. But I don't see it, so I should have brought the box. I could look it up online, but I'd rather just put it on the website. So, this last one is the Black Iron IPA. By the name, I was assuming it was going to be a black IPA, but it came out not so black IPA. So it's is a regular amber. IPA, I'm guessing, but they're calling it Black Iron for probably something with the railroad and what have you, since it's got a big train on it. Tribute to the Black Iron that paved the way to get to the Grand Canyon. Black Iron IPA is high hop, fragrant ale that is deep. And as wide as the Grand Canyon itself. Wow, this one better be deep. That is a fucking statement.
You know what? I just sipped it, and it's pretty good.
It's pretty deep.
I don't really like IPAs, but pretty tasty.
It smells round. It smells deep. It smells wide.
It's got deep notes. Pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's a good IPA.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth.
I think we've both expressed in the past that we are not... huge fans of IPAs that totally blow your palate out.
Yeah.
And this one is got hoppy notes, but it's not overly bitter.
Yeah.
I like
it. That's good.
It's actually pretty good. It's incredibly warm at the moment. But
but
I went from lightest to darkest.
I know.
Kind of work
that,
our
yeah.
way there. I feel like that's how they do flights, so I try to be somewhat professional about that. So
definitely professional. In fact, I was thinking, do I have a shot glass?
That's good.
Anywhere near the Grand Canyon. Closest is Roanoke, Virginia.
There's plenty more where that came from. If you want, have some more. This is a drinking show. I do have a few more things.
All right, what do you got?
I'm going to vent for a little while. It's not really a things that make me need a beer because I was drinking one.
Uh-huh.
But I have gone to the first brewery that I did not enjoy myself.
Oh, really?
I had a bad time. You know what? It was indifferent.
Yeah.
We like I said, we have a house out in Lake Havasu, and you know, my parents were there, and they were telling us, "Hey, there's a new brewery down the way. It's been open for a couple of months. Right down the way, it's called Copper Canyon Brewing Company, mm-hmm. and they are."
They also sell fine leather goods and cups you could make a Moscow Mule in.
Yeah, and the second I walked in, there was a lady, and she's like, "Sir, can I help you?" And she walked me all over the place. No, that's not what happened.
She's like, "Would you mind if I hold that credit card behind the counter?
Can I hold your beer behind the counter while you shop?" No, it Copper Canyon Brewery, and that's a cove at Lake Havasu, if you're not familiar. It's a pretty common rock that people kill themselves off, jumping off of and what have you.
Oh, really? Because there's embedded rocks down below.
Yeah, it's just a big rock, and people party around it, and you jump off, and it's woo. People take their clothes off and do cool
shit.
I've
always thought I would not want to do that.
I've jumped off it several times, but but I had all my clothes on. Oh, that might not be true. Well, anyway, so we go to this brewery, and he's got some pretty bitchin' equipment, a lot of brass stuff over in the corner, and we sit down. There's nobody in there. Us and one other table. The other table left promptly, and we hung out. I ordered a flight of six different beers from them, and they come out, and some people ordered. My dad ordered a wit. My wife ordered a wit. My mom ordered Bloody Mary or something like that. The Bloody Mary has a piece of bacon in it.
Uh huh.
And
you're talking about an eye opener.
An eye opener.
That's what people have been known to call Bloody Marys.
An eye opener.
Because they're a morning time drink.
Check, yeah. it's fairly late. It's probably like 8 o'clock.
I think I got that term from Rusty.
Yeah. An eye opener. I'm sure I did. My mom ordered an eye opener. Yeah. My mom ordered breakfast. And
I think an eye opener can take on any form, too. It could be like whatever you were drinking last night.
Right.
It's just the first beer of the day.
Yeah, yeah. It's the, I feel better. Well, okay, so they put a piece of bacon in it. And like, if you're going to put bacon as a garnish, it better be a crispy fucking piece of bacon sticking out of this fucking thing that's like crunchy, you know, like it may as well have sat on the sidewalk for 5 hours and got all this thing's flopping over the edge of the glass.
Oh, no.
And it's like, ooh, and it's like half raw. And it's just like, that's not really a good garnish.
Pork's a good way to get one of those brain parasites.
You know, so like, let's just give some diseases to people also, you know. But we're there for the beer, so who fuck cares? Oh, you guys are a brewery, but you suck at Bloody Mary's, big deal.
Uh-huh.
So, but it was just like foreshadowing into the quality of the situation.
Oh, right.
And the lady brings us my flight and the other two beers, and my wife drinks her beer, and she kind of is like, okay, cool, whatever. My dad drinks his beer, and is kind of like, whatever, and I take a first sip of mine, and I'm kind of thinking, and my wife looks at me and she goes, "My beer tastes like water," and I was like, "What?" So I take a sip of her beer, and it tastes like fucking water.
Really?
Yeah, like it legitimately tastes like water, and it had some smell and it had some flavor,
mm-hmm.
but it tastes watered down.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, and it's a full Pilsner glass of beer. And my dad has the same thing. It's a different wit. And he's kind of like, yeah, mine doesn't taste very strong either. Mm. So I taste his, and it tastes like fucking water. And I'm going through, and I ordered some dark beers in my flight. Like I got an IPA in there. I got a double IPA in there.
Mm.
A double IPA should be blow the fucking roof off, like flavor.
Yeah.
You know, like, holy shit, there's a lot of alcohol by volume in that. And there's two dark beers in there. One of them's a porter. Like if you have a porter, like all six of my beers taste like water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't just like, it was like a common theme where it was like, are you guys watering your beer down to stretch it,
mm-hmm.
like, to the next level, like, so you make more profit? Like, I don't understand, because I thought a craft brewery was about brewing some, like, bitchin' tasting beer, you know?
So were you able to ask the waitress about this?
We, you know, she came over and asked us about the beers, and we were kind of like, you know, I don't know, I'm still working on them. I hadn't got through all six of them yet, and come to find out that she knew pretty much nothing about beer. She, you know, I'm asking her things and she's saying things that don't make any fucking sense.
She's like, all I know is the boss says pour a little water in
each
one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. So, I'm drinking a porter. I'm going, and it even says on the menu, this is the darkest beer we have, mm-hmm. you know? So you're going, fuck, that better be deep and rich, you know?
Yeah.
Taste it. And it's like, it's watery. It tastes like they're watering their beer down. And they've only been open for a couple of months. It's like, now's the time to make an impression, guys. Yeah, like, now's exactly. the time to be like, we have bitchin' fucking beer. It's great, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so anyway. And they got College Street, like, right down the street from them. That's the one we did, Big Blue Van. And they're serving some bitchin' beer over there. And so it's like, you got competition in the area. There's a couple other breweries in the area, Mud Sharks and Barley Brothers. And if you're not going to serve some good fucking beer as a brewery, I don't know, man. I don't think you're going to make it, but just a little tidbit, just my input. But so then come to talk to the lady, and she's come to find out the owner is sitting at a table in the back corner with one or two of his friends, wife, whatever.
Yeah.
And so we're there for an hour probably, mm-hmm. and we're the only people in the building other than that.
Wow.
And it's like, the guy didn't even come over and say, hey guys, how are you? Yeah. How's the beer? How is everything? How is, like, you're the only people standing in my establishment and I'm still here and I fucking made that beer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. You know, like, I mean, and we weren't standing there complaining, going, gee, I sure hope you come over here and tell us why your beer sucks. But it was like, if I own the place, I would be there going, hey, how are you guys? Yeah. Shaking people's hands.
Why
going,
are you
thanks
the only
for coming.
In my restaurant?
Thanks
yeah.
for coming here. That's awesome.
Share with
like,
me, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so whatever, you know. So I just thought I'd share that.
Wow. Well, that's so often left field sort of from everything we've kind of experienced with our local breweries.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you more than me, but they seem to be pretty much on the up and up and interested in quality.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt bad for the girl because the girl, she was trying really hard. And when you'd ask her a question, she'd be like, hold on, I know the answer to this. You know, but even as a company, as an owner, you just opened a craft brewery.
Yeah.
You just opened you're called Grand Canyon Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you hire someone that knows nothing about fucking beer? Like, why, like, you've been open for 2 months. Maybe you hire that girl 3 years down the road and go, you know what? There's enough people here to explain to you what this means and help you out, you know, if you're really busy. But why is that your front line of experience?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. So,
well,
anyway.
Sorry. What was it called?
It's Copper Canyon Brewery. Canyon. So if you go to Lake Havasu, go get a Big Blue Van at College Street instead.
Yeah, we koozie approved that one pretty high. All right, well, speaking of that, it's getting late. We got a koozie approved 4 beers.
Yep.
We still got the pub joke of the week. So you brought the beers, so that means I'm starting first. Let's start with the first one.
I do want to plug one more thing.
All right, go ahead.
And then we will. I have we did go to the Grand Canyon to get this beer. And we go every year, and we have a tradition. As you're driving up the 64... into the Grand Canyon, you pass through Grand Canyon Village right before you get in, and there is a place that we go every year on our way out. It's called We Cook Pizza and Pasta, and that's actually the name of it. And there's a huge ass sign that says We Cook Pizza and Pasta.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I've ever had Grand Canyon beer, back like probably 5 or 6 years ago, and they have calzones that are amazing.
Really?
Like, amazing calzones. Best calzone I've ever had in my life. And the first year we went to the Grand Canyon, we did a turnaround trip. So we drove from the lake house up 4 hours, hung out for the day, drove back 4 hours back home, mm-hmm. all in one trip. And on the way out of there, we were like, fuck, we're starving.
Yeah.
I don't care. We're stopping at the first fucking place we see. I don't want to hear any, like, I don't want to eat there. It's like, this is where we're fucking stopping.
Look, at these people make pizza and pasta.
Yeah. And these people cook pizza and pasta. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And we stopped, and it was kind of a dive back then. And we were so glad we stopped, because it was just like, this is the best calzone we've ever had. And every year we go back for that calzone, and we have a Grand Canyon beer while we're sitting there eating our calzone. and it's amazing. We cook pizza and pasta. It's up to 64 on your way to the Grand Canyon. If you're ever there, you got to stop and get a calzone.
I'm looking forward to it now.
All right. Koozie approve.
All right. Koozie approval. So we'll start with the well, I want to start with the
let's start with the
white water.
Yeah, let's start with the white water.
White water wheat. I'm going to have to take a little another sip
of it. I'm going to need a sip as we go. So this one is white water wheat, otherwise known as the white winter wheat. No, white water wheat, and it is a I think it's, I'm going with an American wheat ale, but it could be a, I don't know. You koozie proven first?
Yeah, I'm going to give this one, because it's flavorful, but not too crazy. Still pretty smooth, nicely carbonated. Something you could drink a few of. I'm going to give it, go
8.3. You know what? It is a wheat. Does have a wheat flavor, but again, it's not over the top. It doesn't have that, oh my gosh, that's a wheat. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 8. What did you give it? 8.2?
3.
Oh, I was gonna, okay, 8.2 it is.
All right. All right, the next one, American Pilsner. I like it, but maybe it's because it's warm. I don't know. But it almost tastes a little malt licorice-y, you know, to me.
I've never been the hugest fan of Pilsners also. They're good, but they always have that Pilsner flavor to them. I think maybe I'm too American for it. It seems like maybe Europeans like their Pilsners a little bit more.
Really?
That could be totally racist or biased, I don't know.
I'd say both.
I saying that. but
well, I'm going to go first. I'm going to give it a solid 7.1. Good. Good. Drinkable, definitely. Fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, not bad at all. But, yeah, you're right. Something about it, especially coming off that whitewater wheat.
Yeah.
It's easier to prove that one a little lower. And it's probably just my taste. Somebody might say, you guys are stupid. I think it's a 9, which I'd probably say maybe you're right.
I'd almost never say this about wheats, but I think I'd drink that wheat over that Pilsner.
Yeah.
So I'll give it an 8. All right.
Cool. All right. So next up is the IPA.
No, the amber. The Sunset Amber Ale.
Oh, okay.
This is the sort of sweet. With a citrus finish. Almost red in color. Amber ale. Looks like a sunset.
Let's see.
So. I like this one, actually.
It's really good, and it's the only, like, sort of amber ale that I've tried that has that citrusy flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of unique. So, well, if I gotta go first, I'm gonna give it, just because it's a little skunky for my taste, I'll give it a 7.9.
Going down with it.
Yeah.
I usually
maybe an eight.
I can see how the citrus aspect as it warms up gets a little skunky. If it was cold and crisp, it would probably be,
yeah,
bam. You know, that's awesome.
Might be right there.
The other avenue to go with an amber would be to hop it, more, where you get more hop. And I think I like this approach. I don't know. I mean, I like hops, but I'm going to give this one a 9. I'm going to give the amber a 9.
You're definitely more of a connoisseur than I am.
That's just a personal preference.
Just as a side note for our listeners, it's probably best to take Nate's koozie rating over mine.
No, they average out. They average out. Yeah, and on that note,
I've seen that on,
if you,
out of 20.
If you want to go ahead and leave your own koozie approvals as comments on the website, we will take them and we will factor them in.
That reminds me, it's time for comments.
Oh.
Okay, no comments.
So okay,
last
moving
beer
on.
Is the IPA.
I was mumming about the amber. I just finished it.
Well, I don't normally like IPAs, just because not really my style. But I do have to remember to take into consideration this IPA versus other IPAs I've tried. I've tried some pretty nasty ones, like the Stone stuff. Like, where you drink it and you're just like, you have to love hops and love high alcohol volume, by volume just to get through it. I mean, you know, I almost just don't want to drink it. That's how I know I'm not an alcoholic, by the way, is that I won't drink Stone Ruination. I don't give a fuck what it takes.
I was gonna rebuttal your just because you used the word Stone and nasty in the same sentence, and I was gonna like, maybe, you know, but yeah, actually, some of them are very, very hoppy.
I
do like what Stone. Sure. I like some stuff Stone puts out, though.
I'm sure it's good. But, you know, they got into the market of, like, do you wear a flat-billed hat and drive a big truck?
Mm.
Well, we got some beers for you. So to me, it was almost, like, a little too potent for, like, the normal guy.
All right. We're just dropping bombs on people this week, guys. Come listen to the podcast. Hey, if you don't agree with
particularly
us.
Particularly if you have a nautical star tattoo.
And you have a nautical star tattoo, then leave a comment.
No, I'm just kidding. But it was during that, you know, like, kind of, it was, I feel like it was a big beer in that scene out here in Southern California.
I have to have an appreciation for them, regardless of whether I buy their beer very often or how many of them I like, because I do like some of them. Some of them are great. I actually don't mind Stone IPA. They're like regular IPA is really good. But for what they've done for the craft beer industry,
you're right about
and
that.
For what they've, yeah. And for what they've shown everyone else that they can do, like, they're the inspiration of a lot of people when
that's
it really
true.
Comes
they
down to
the,
it.
They were one of the first that I can remember as being like, you know, you'd see it at a party, like, what the hell is that?
It's yeah,
like,
exactly.
The devil.
You ever had that arrogant bastard?
Yeah, yeah.
God, I was so fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so this IPA, I don't really like IPAs, but this one's really good. I'm going to give it 8.7.
Okay.
I really think it's tasteful.
So the Black Iron 8.7. The Black Iron IPA, you're giving it 8.7. Yeah. Again, you know what? I have to say, like we talked about, the IPA without the bitterness, you know, is kind of like, there's something about an IPA without the bitterness. I kind of like it. It kind of has
very
that
low
like
IBU ratings.
Sweet, yeah. This one probably has low IBUs, but you can definitely taste the hops though. It's like the hoppiness without the bitterness.
Yeah,
and I like it.
It's really light in color, good and smooth. Yeah. All right,
I'm gonna give it an 8.9.
8.9.
Yeah,
cool. So we're right there on that one. Well,
did you 8.9 it?
I 8.8 it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, well, that brings us to our pub joke of the week. We gotta wrap this up. This is gonna be our longest
like
episode ever.
2.5 hours. It probably just feels really long for us because of the difficulties. Yeah, that's probably long.
All right, so you brought the beer, but it was sort of my week, so I got the pub joke of the week. Here we go. No animals, a little longer. An Irishman who had a little too much to drink is driving home from the city one night, and of course his car is weaving violently all over the road. A cop pulls him over. So, says the cop to the driver, where have you been? Why, I've been to the pub, of course, slurs the drunk. Well, says the cop, it looks like you've had quite a few to drink this evening. I did all right, the drunk says with a smile. Did you know, says the cop, standing straight and folding his arms across his chest, that a few intersections back, your wife fell out of your car? Oh, thank heaven, sighs the drunk. For a minute there, I thought I'd gone deaf. So... Sorry, I just coughed right in the mic. Anyways, thank you for tuning in this week. We're sorry about the technical difficulties. I feel like I'm riding a six-wheeled bicycle trying to spin plates. Our stuff's kind of messed up this week. But anyways, we had a good time.
Thanks for tuning in to the best beer show there is out there. Leave a comment at thebetterbeerclub.com, on iTunes, subscribe, and or on Podomatic.
All right, see you next week.
Cheers, better beer.